Blog Talk Radio.
Joining me now in this NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight on All Access Football Radio is linebacker Danny Clark from the New York Football Giants. Hey, Danny, how's it going today?
I'm great, Dan, man. How's everything going?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about with you, but before we even go to all the things that you're involved with, be it music, your entrepreneurship, being a TV personality yourself, a cook, I want to talk a little draft with you first, because that's kind of what we do a lot here, and you know, the draft is just a couple of weeks away, and I read a quote from you saying, statistically, a seventh round pick doesn't make it through training camp or even their first year in the NFL, and you know, talk about the mentality of being a guy who was a seventh round pick back then, and how proud you are that you're still in the league. For, you know, how many guys were drafted before you that are not in the league anymore?
Well, it's a little chip you have on your shoulder, and it's something that I've carried. You know, just going to my 10th season, coming in again, I always think about seventh round guys. I end up, and I'm trying to form a fraternity. I call it the Lucky Seven of guys. Seventh round that's made it past 4 years, and we got a lot of guys that are part of my club now. And but at the end of the day, I just think that you walk around with a chip on your shoulder. You're trying to prove guys wrong, prove teams wrong that passed you up 6 rounds before, and you know, and all the guys that came before you. You always have a list. I know Antonio Pierce went as a free agent, and he has a list that he's well written about all the guys that didn't make it, or he played a lot longer than so. It's definitely an advantage to use it as a motivational tool, because you definitely don't get the financial backing that you're expecting to get, you know. And me, I'm thinking I was going to be a second rounder, you know, according to Mel Kiper, you know. And at the end of the day, it didn't work out. But, you know, I think everything happens for a reason, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
So was it just stunning that weekend then, you know, as the rounds were going and you weren't picked? What was your reaction? What were you feeling like that weekend, you know?
It's so funny. It was the best and the worst day of my life. It's so crazy. And I, you know, besides the birth of my kids, but, you know, it was the day my dad had a Jacksonville Jaguars shirt on the first day. So the first 3 rounds went, and I was pretty sick. Like, I was sick. I was depressed. And, you know, my best friend took me out. He ended up crashing his car that same night. So,
wow.
That was another issue that really, you know, had me, you know, disappointed. And then so the fourth round comes, well, at least I know I'll go to the fourth round, you know. And that day comes, and no call. And I start getting a lot of phone calls saying, we're going to get you in the fourth, we're going to get you in the fifth, we're going to get you in the sixth. And then for whatever reason, you know, they were getting trumped, and those selections weren't being made. And at that point, my mom is crying, and, you know, my family was definitely excited about me. You know, we were all gathered at my house, and, you know, it was depressing. But, you know, I finally got the call from Jacksonville, a guy named Lewis Clark, I'll never forget it. You know, of course, the last name, you know, never always ring a bell. So when he called and said, you know, do you want to be a Jacksonville Jaguar? And I'm like, well, you know what? At this point, yeah, I want to do whatever I can to get in now. And it changed the whole perspective of the way I was going to enter the National Football League. You know, I went in as a three-time, you know, all Big Ten linebacker that had a pretty good shot, you know, early first day guy. And now I knew I had to go prove myself time and time again, and that has not changed to this day.
So that's kind of an attitude that you've just kind of kept with you then. So what would you say to, you know, we talk to a lot of draft prospects and a lot of kids, and then, you know, we talk to them after the draft as well. What kind of advice would you pass on to somebody who kind of has that experience and maybe starts putting their head down a little bit?
Okay, this is something that they really need to understand, that this game, this business that we're in, is a privilege. It's not guaranteed to you. You don't, you're not guaranteed to be a star, or you know, there are role players, there are superstars in this game. But at the end of the day, if you come in at the bottom, or I call it the basement, I told them I came and I kicked the basement door open in the National Football League, and I fought my way in it, you know. And I want them to have a whole idea of stay humble, stay hungry, you know, because you're going to have some successes and some failures along the way. But you know, at the end of the day, always stay hungry, no matter how much success you achieve, because as quick as they give it to you, the quicker they can take it away. and that's just the business of it all. And people get caught up in saying, well, I'm a good football player, and I can go and make tackles, catch balls, and make touchdowns. But at the end of the day, when that business wants to change its mind on you, you are just a product. So you have to understand that you have to go out and have a student mentality or a sponge-like mentality where you're just going to soak up as much as you can. You're never too much, too old to learn and get better. And that's the thing. Every year, like right now, they're bringing new kids in to take your job. And that's the way I look at it.
All right, we're talking to Danny Clark, linebacker of the New York Giants, NFL veteran. Danny, tell us a little bit about this MTV appearance, My Super Sweet 16, focused on your family, your stepson, I believe. I got to be honest, I had never heard the show until this. One of my buddies was telling me, oh, you're having Danny Clark on, you got to ask him about the Sweet 16 show on MTV. What was that like, and could you have imagined being in his shoes when you were 16?
Oh, man, it was nuts. You know, funny thing is my wife promised him at his 16th birthday, and now he's 18, but 2 years ago. My wife promised him that she would throw him a big birthday party on his 16th birthday because he's had, like, you know, kind of average, you know, mediocre birthday parties along the way, just cake and ice cream. And so she said, when you turn 16, I'll do something free for you. So I got my publicist at the time to reach out to MTV. They wined and dined him. They loved his personality. He was a guy that demanded attention. He's a really good kid. And first and foremost, that show has a lot of little bratty kids on there. And my wife made sure that my son didn't allude to being disrespectful or a brat, because that, you know, we would have pulled the plug on the whole deal. So, you know, it was a lot of, you know, glitz and glamour. We had a couple celebrities show up and perform in his deal, and it was a great experience for him. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was television. I'll put it that way. It was entertaining, and we did just that.
Do you remember your Sweet 16? Well, I'm sure it wasn't called a Sweet 16, right? I mean, typically boys don't call it that.
You know, the funny thing is I thought Sweet 16 was for girls, but
yeah.
The show was called Sweet 16. So, and it's boys and girls on the show. But yeah, my 16th birthday, I probably got a strawberry cake with whipped cream and like four candles. You know? and I was totally content, though. You know, my dad was, you know, a single dad, and you know, I have four other brothers, and you know, we didn't have a whole lot to spend, but we definitely had to, you know, make sure we acknowledge everybody's birthday. So it was cool.
All right, speaking of family, Danny, let's talk, let's shift to a little more serious note, and we spoke a little bit before we got on. This is a big weekend for you to spend with your brothers. You have twin brothers who have been stationed in Iraq and Afghanistan before. One is, I believe, in the Marines. One is in the Air Force. How are they, and are they both going back, or is just one going back?
Well, it's funny. Jason is stationed, he's in the Air Force. Jason is in the Air Force, and he's stationed in Korea right now. So he's going to be over there for a year. Josh was one, he's here in Chicago, and he's going back for his third tour in Iraq. And he's leaving a week from Saturday, so that, you know, the same day as my event, April 18th, he'll be leaving out, headed back to Iraq. So this weekend, he and I are going to spend time. He's going to a soccer game. I am a Cubs fan, so I'm going to go there and wear my Cubs hat and probably get beer poured on me or something. But at the end of the day, I just want to spend as much time with them, and he's been reaching out to me and vice versa. So, you know, I just want to make sure that it's a pleasant departure for him.
How tough is it for you, you know, going through life, you know, whether it's playing football or working out in the off season or doing the other stuff you do, knowing your brothers are in harm's way?
Well, it puts things into perspective. There are so many times in football, parallels of the warrior mentality of the military, and the accountability, the discipline that is applied in the military. We try to use some of those values and some of those words, and you know, I think when I went over to Iraq and Iraq and Kuwait for the USO tour, I got to experience what they go through, and that comforted me to a level where I understand what my brothers are into and how much danger is out there. And there is danger, but when we were on the bases, they were pretty good. And the whole mentality over there now is we're trying to clean up the whole deal and get out of there. So, you know, I think that I'm totally in support of what he's doing. And, you know, I'm not happy that he has to go back for a third time, but he's not as well. But he understands it's his duty. You know, he's actually out of the military, but he's a reservist, so they pulled him back as a recall. And unfortunately, he had to go back, and you know, that's his duty, and he's going to go handle it like a man.
And what overall, what was that experience like, you know, meeting the other guys that are there in the military? I believe you went with some other NFL players, Jared Allen, Larry Fitzgerald, to name two. When was that trip, and you know, what were the other soldiers telling you guys, and you know, how did you feel about the whole experience?
It was so funny. We met up in Washington, D.C., Dulles Airport, with Larry Fitzgerald, Jared Allen, and Will Witherspoon, and myself. And we got to D.C., kind of met each other for the first time, and we probably going to be friends for a lifetime now, because, like, we got to experience some truly humbling events over in the Middle East. So we went to visit, went about 8 different bases. We flew into Kuwait, stayed in the hotel for a day. That was our last days of having real showers and internet and all the luxuries that we enjoy here at home. And we flew over via a military plane, a C-130, flew over to Iraq from Kuwait, and we visited 8 different bases. And it was truly humbling to see how excited the common soldier, sailor, airman, and servicemen all together. They were so excited.
Right.
And they were like, you know, you guys are what keeps us grounded at home. And I got to realize they're 8 hours different as far as time zone is concerned. And they would get up at 2 or 3 in the morning to watch NFL games. And they're like, that was their dose of home. And you know, I mean, being that I played for the Giants, we had so many Giants fans. And sorry, we didn't have any Jets fans for you, Dan.
You had to throw that in there, huh?
Eagles fan. Yeah, we had an Eagles fan, which really had me sick, you know, because I'm not a big fan of those guys. But at the end of the day, you know, all the guys, Jared and Larry and Will, like, we had a really great time. We dressed in camis, you know, for the most time. We got boots, and we walked through the sand. And you know, I started off my trip with Chuck Taylor's on, but I soon got the... I got dressed apart, you know. I got my camis, you know. We got the military too. I mean, the Marines took care of us and that. So we had a really good experience. We ended up being caught up in a snowstorm. I mean, I'm sorry, not a snowstorm, a sandstorm. And we got stuck on a base called Al Asad, where that's the biggest base in Iraq. It's where everyone's kind of it's the hub everybody keeps moving from. And we had a great time there.
Now, doing charity works is really nothing new for you, Danny. Tell us a little bit about your foundation, the Danny Clark Foundation, and the charity event that's going to be held in Chicago on April 18th.
Okay. Well, the Danny Clark Foundation was founded in 08, but it actually was inspired in 02. We got it official in 08, but you know, it was inspired by my second-hand son, Daniel Clark V. And, you know, basically, he was born 3 months premature, 25 weeks gestation, and you know, he went through so much as a newborn, you know, and he wasn't supposed to be out, and he was out, and hooked up to the incubator, all these machines and bells and whistles going off, and it was a tough situation, and it inspired me to help other premature families, and that was the initial mission of the Danny Clark Foundation, is to help premature families. But, you know, I met with the board and they said, you know what, just don't limit yourself as far as helping premature families. Help a lot of, you know, inner city youth in every capacity. I mean, athletically, you know, just get child obesity and educational values as well. So now we're having an event, our first inaugural gala in Chicago, Saturday, April 18th at the River East Art Museum. And it's going to be a fantastic deal. We're going to have all my teammates from, you know, a lot of my teammates from New York. This is my 15th. I have teammates from all 5 teams coming. It's going to be loaded up. A lot of people, Chicago personalities will be there. A lot of politicians from the Chicago area as well. So I'm really excited about the turnout that we're going to have. And it's going to be, and it's called Cirque du Lumière, which means Circus of Light in French. And the experience will be like, something that you will never forget. It's you know, it's gonna be life circus acts and, you know, people balancing them on string body painting. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and it's gonna be, you know, a live auction, silent auction, and then you know, you can have dinner with your favorite celebrity that's gonna be in the venue. So it's gonna be a really good deal to pick up steam for for you know, helping out the kids all year long.
Cirque de Lumiere, is that how you see it? I wasn't even going to try to say that until I heard you say it. Yeah, I just said the Danny Clark event because I saw that written. I was like, I know I'm going to butcher that. So, and people can find out more about this at DannyClark55.com. Is that right?
As well as at DannyClarkFoundation.com. So DannyClarkFoundation.com, and you're in. So it's a lead page. You can purchase tickets. You can send in kind or cash donations. And it's definitely appreciated because we're helping a lot of people.
And how about the shop with the jock? What's that about? That sounds like a cool event right there for a kid. What's that about?
That is so fun. I took my kids 2 years ago. I've been doing it since 2004, where shop with the jock is where Christmas time I get you know 10 to 20 some. One year I got 32 teammates. We sponsor 50 kids from some kind of maybe halfway house or orphanage, and a lot of these kids don't have any parents, so they don't have any Christmas. And what we do is I team up with Walmart, and I get $100 gift cards. We go to Walmart, and each one of the teammates pick one of the kids and make it a shopping experience. And sometimes the kids get them themselves, get them for their family or whatever. So it's a really humbling experience because some of these kids are just so happy to have. First of all, the kid was an athlete. And I realize they can do better. And I always challenge these kids every single year. Anything I do, I always challenge the kids. Once you become the great person you're going to be, successful, happy person, I want you to always pride yourself on getting back. Go back to get new little kids and lift them. Because, I mean, essentially all these kids just need a little guidance. And unfortunately, they've been guided by some of the wrong things in our society, television and stuff of that nature. So at the end of the day, you need positive role models, and I definitely believe I am one, and we need more. I think we need a lot of people doing a little is one of my bigger goals, and I think it'll go a long way.
All right, Danny, thanks a lot for joining us. I mean, there's a ton of things I could ask you about, other things you're involved with, Illinois football, New York Giants football. We'll save that stuff for another time. I don't want to take you away from your brother much longer, but we like to close things out with a segment we call Three and Out, where we have three kind of fun questions for you. So first down, what was more fun for you, teaching everybody your Super Bowl spaghetti on ESPN or being featured by Dub Magazine?
Oh, man. Fun, I think Dub Magazine. Dub Magazine's got a little car. Car's my thing. I don't know if you got to see the love bug, my Honda Civic I had since high school. I got it dressed up, and he's my favorite by far.
All right, you led me to the second down question. Second down, if you can only keep one of your cars, would it be your Porsche, your Benz, your Bentley, or that tricked out old school Honda Civic, a.k.a. the Love Bug? Which one would you choose?
Oh, the Love Bug by far. It's still the only one that stands strong, man. And she's a girl, believe it or not. She got a little upset with me when I got all the new cars. She felt like I wasn't paying her attention, so I'm shipping her back to Chicago here, and I can't wait to get her.
She was getting a little jealous?
Yeah, she was jealous, man. I was driving all this stuff too much.
You got to show her the love. You got to show the Love Bug some love. And third down, you're down the middle. You're from the mid, the central part of the country, but I'm going to ask you to go East Coast or West Coast. Are you a Biggie guy or a Tupac guy?
Oh, man, that's rough. Because now I am now a resident of New York, I'm going to say I'm going with Biggie.
All right. I like that answer for sure.
I got a little teared up when his mom went to Brooklyn, and, I got a little teared up with the movie Notorious, so I'm definitely a Biggie fan.
All right, cool, Danny. Thanks a lot for joining us, like I said, and giving us some time during your busy schedule. We want to wish you luck with the event coming up this season, and hopefully we'll see you when you're back in New York.
No problem. I'll see you guys shortly, and I'll talk to you soon.